the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Brother Sai Prakash from Radio Sai. Sai Prakash hails from a family who were devoted to our beloved Swami for close to 5 decades. He joined the Sri Sathya Sai Primary School in the year 1984 and completed his post-graduation from the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in the year 2000. So literally from KG to PG with Swami, and his story doesn't end there. After his education, he was handpicked by Swami to join Radio Sai when Radio Sai had just begun. Sai Prakash, who is a self-taught musician, plays harmonium in the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group and has played sitar in front of Bhagwan for innumerable occasions. The topic for today's talk is how to feel Swami's presence. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanti Nilayam on the 4th of March 2018. Stay tuned, dear listeners. Interspersed and after the talk, we have some soulful songs from the album Jeevan Sathya Sai. And at 3:30 p.m, we have the live Telugu segment Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesh Cheri. With that, over to Brother Sai Prakash.
Offering my most humble and loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. How to feel Swami's presence. This is something which is a lifetime endeavor, I suppose. And all of us have equal opportunity to feel His presence now, as always. So I like to structure this talk in under 2-3 different headings. And let's see how it goes. When we joined Radio Sai in 2001, we were doing a lot of videography of Swami's functions in the mandir, events, etc. And if you're working for Radio Sai, you get to see Him all the time because you're seeing His videos, you're listening to His talks. Like anybody else, you also have access to His talks, you have access to His videos, etc. But then we also do it as a part of our job. So we were happily doing that and looking at His videos and immersed in Swami's thoughts and His form. One day one Russian lady came up to the studio in Radio Sai. She came to the studio and she asked us, so what sadhana are you doing? And I kind of told her that, see, we are looking at Swami all the time. We are doing His work all the time. She says, but that is work. That is work. What is your sadhana? What are you doing? And, you know, that sets you thinking. She was very right. She said that, you know, you are doing it as a work. What you're doing as a work is a work. Even though it involves Swami, if you want to feel His presence, you have to do that sadhana. It's very interesting because I'm sure many of you have read the book Conversations with Sai Baba with Dr. John Hislop. In that, Dr. John Hislop tells Swami that, Swami, after so many years of listening to your talks, your discourses, we have a general idea of what reality is, what the truth is, what the ultimate truth is. So, but still, you know, why are we not able to live in that awareness? Why are we not able to live with the feeling of your presence? Right now we have put a chair for Swami. Do we really feel that Swami is here right now? And when He is here right now, how would we behave? How would we conduct ourselves? What is the awareness with which, you know, we would speak to others? What is the tone? What is the attitude? Everything gets influenced by that one awareness. If we feel that, yes, He is here all the time. So I think on those lines, Dr. John Hislop also asked Swami, why is it that even after we know a lot of things, we are not able to live in that awareness? And Swami gave one of the most simplest and most anti-climax kind of a reply, because we would think Swami would give a very profound statement. This is profound, but in a very different way. He said, because you are not interested enough. You are just not interested enough. Like, yes, it is important that I should have breakfast. It's important that I should get ready. I should go for the bhajan in the morning. But to feel Swami's presence all the time in my life, is it important enough? Am I interested enough? Do I feel that that is my priority and I have to feel His presence all the time? Is it important for me? So he says, if it is important for you, there are several ways of doing it. And it's not impossible. So I thought we'll speak on some of those ideas and some of those things that we have read or heard from Swami. But before I start off, I want to put a big disclaimer. Like, you know, when you go to a movie, you see a disclaimer which says that, the disclaimer I'm going to put up is, it does not mean that I am personally able to feel His presence all the time. Because some of us, you know, when we talk about trying to feel His presence, we all are on the same journey. At least I am on the same journey. So I wanted to put up that big disclaimer board. But it's a journey which all of us can take to, and all of us, if we are interested enough, again it comes back to the same point of interest. So if we are interested enough, we can feel His presence. I was thinking of approaching it, you know, in three different stages. The first one is, when we were in the physical presence of Swami, like many of us have had the opportunity of seeing Swami physically, we have been there, He has interacted with us, we have seen several darshans of Swami, and even for those who have not possibly seen Him physically, maybe you would have seen many videos where Swami is coming for darshan, where He is interacting with people. So let us talk a little bit about seeing Him physically. Then we could go on to a more subtler level of who Swami actually is. Nobody can understand, nobody can comprehend, nobody can comprehensively say. But there are a few interesting statements of Swami speaking on Himself. And there can be no better reference point than to go back to what He has told about Himself. And the third aspect of what I would like to speak on is, how can we feel His presence today? How can we actually, and these are just my thoughts, so I'm sure you'll understand where I'm coming from. So if you look at being in Swami's physical presence, for those who have had darshans of Swami from many years, you would remember that there were the sands, and Swami would walk in the sands for darshan, and He would come out from His room, and He would go for take a whole round. Oftentimes He would pick chocolates and toffees and throw it to everybody, always smiling. It's like, you know, when the sun is moving and the entire field of sunflowers just blossom as He is walking past. Everybody is so happy, everybody is so smiling and so blissful, and then Swami goes, He just glides past everybody. So that beautiful darshan comes back to your imagination. But there is one very interesting aspect of darshan which, all of us have read several places what Swami has Himself told about His darshan, that, you know, after darshan you should keep silent, you should absorb the energy. One of those days when I was looking at some of the videos that we have in our collection at Radio Sai, a very interesting statement struck, you know, I just struck upon this interesting statement where Swami is speaking to the students in Vrindavan, in Thrai Vrindavan. That is His residence in Vrindavan. And Swami is telling, I am not telling you all to sit silently. Like, you all are sitting in front of me. So Swami is telling the students, you all are sitting here in front of me. But that is not important. Your mind has to be silent. He's telling, I am not talking to you, your bodies. Your body can be sitting here, but you're always thinking of, my God, why did they increase the rate of capsicum? Or when I go back, what will I do? Oh my God, that super bazaar closes by this time. I should go back. I should get this. I should do that. Your mind is all over the place. Or, you know, thinking of anything. So he says, it's more important that your mind is under control, that your mind is calm, and your mind is stable. It is, you know, steady for you to absorb what Swami has come to give. So similarly, even when he would come for darshan, for many years you would never know when Swami would come out, because it is His will. He would just come out and come for darshan. But then one of those days Swami called some of the students, and this is something which one of the students who was there told me. Swami said, why don't you play a little soft music before I come for darshan? Now, Swami said, see, what happens is, people are sitting there, I know they're waiting for darshan, but their mind is all over the place. You're thinking of so many things. So, when you're thinking of so many things, how can you absorb the power that Swami has come to give? So he says, why don't you play some soft music so that everybody's mind settles down? You know, your mind becomes calm, and then when Swami comes out for darshan, you're able to absorb his energy, you're able to, you know, get benefited with his energy and love. And that is how the whole darshan music started. And some of the students, unfortunately, they thought, oh, we are going to play music for Swami, and they started composing elaborate music, and Swami said, what happened? Next day he wanted it to be played, and they were not ready, unfortunately. So Swami allowed that a cassette, a tape should be played when he came for darshan. So what Swami's instructions were, that 2-3 minutes before I come out, the music should be played. And everybody calms down. So you're attuned, you're ready to take his darshan. So even when he was physically present, the power of his physical presence is immense. But are we open to it? Are we open enough to take the love that he has come to give? So that's how, you know, the darshan music would start. And we would get tuned as students. We remember, if, you know, concentrating completely on something burns it, like you do it with a magnifying lens. We would concentrate so much on that door knob of Swami's door. So, you know, so once the music starts, everybody's attention is on that door knob. So everybody is looking, when is Swami going to come out? When is Swami going to come out? And that intensity with which all of us would concentrate on the doorknob, and very gently Swami would just push it down and he would come out. And then you would see that beautiful form of Swami. You would see his smiling face, and every day so fresh and so beautiful. And, you know, just think of it for a moment. You are going out to meet people, to take their problems, to take their complaints, to solve their issues, to, you know, give them what they want. Every day of your life, morning and evening, that itself is divinity. That, I don't think anything else is needed. With that energy, with that love, that he would come every day. So we would concentrate on the doorknob, and Swami would come for darshan, and then he would go for darshan round. And 2-3 things that would happen in darshan. First of all, the whole idea of coming for darshan. Like, in the good old days, if you wanted to come for Swami's darshan, all you had to do was catch a bus or catch a train. Or if you're coming from abroad, catch a flight and then catch the taxi and then come for darshan. Maybe several decades before that, you'll have to catch a bullock cart and you'll have to cross the river and then come for darshan. One of those days when Swami was talking to the students in Kodaikanal, Swami said, there was a student, Swami had asked him to speak. And he said, Swami, I really can't attribute this level of good fortune to any of the merits that I have done. He says, all the merits that I have done in this entire life, I don't think those merits are enough for me to get this opportunity of sitting at your lotus feet, of being close to you, of being able to see you. And then he added, maybe it is the merits of my previous birth. So because of the merits of my previous births, I have accumulated so much merit, and therefore I'm able to sit at your lotus feet. Swami looked at him and smiled, and he said, okay, sit down. And then Swami asked a teacher to speak, a senior person. And he got up and he went one step further. He said, Swami, it is not the merit of my previous births. It is the merits of several ancestors, of several birth lifetimes. So all my ancestors, all the prayers that they have done, the merit that I have got because of all those merits, because of that I'm able to have your darshan. Swami said, oh, do you know that? So Swami said, sit down. And then Swami made that beautiful statement. He said, how many of you know that there are sages in the Himalayas? And of course everybody said, yes, Swami, we all have heard that there is. You know what? They do penance for years and years, hundreds of years. And how much time do they get my darshan? 1 minute? 1.5 minute? That's all they get my darshan. they do penance for hundreds of years and they get my darshan for 1.5 minutes. And you people think you just need to catch a bus or a train and you can come into my presence? He says, no, it's not like that. You do not understand that all the merit that you have done in this birth, all the merit you have done in several lifetimes, the merits of your ancestors, the merits of everybody related to you put together, bundled together, gets exhausted in one single glimpse of mine. He says, the moment you come and sit and you have seen me, that's it. After that, everything I give you is because of my compassion. He says, it is purely my compassion. It is purely my compassion. In fact, if you think of the power of one darshan, there is that beautiful story of Swami Vivekananda and, after Ramakrishna Paramahamsa passed away, there was one gentleman who was very, very, I think he was a fisherman or something. He came to Vivekananda and he, poured out his heart and soul and he said, I think there is no redemption for me in this birth. He asked, why? He said, I was right across Ganga. I was on the other bank of the river. And I didn't know that Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was right opposite on the other bank. I never went to him. I never had the chance of seeing him, of meeting him. I don't think there is a greater, I'm so unlucky. I don't have any. Then Vivekananda said, cool down. And he said, by any chance, did you have the darshan of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa at least once? He said, yeah, once when I was, taking my boat on the other side of the bank, I saw him walking. He said, that's enough. You have seen him. You have had his darshan. That's enough. One darshan of the Lord, one darshan of the Master, that's enough to redeem you. But do you have the faith that that is what it is? So, darshan is something which all of us, I would say, yes, we valued, but we also took for granted. And it was there, Swami was giving us. So when you are in the physical presence of Swami, what happens? The moment he comes, your mind is calm. You're just looking at him. You're enjoying his smile. You're enjoying his presence. And that is what Swami calls as Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi is something where your mind is very calm, is very pure. So what else happens in darshan? Darshan, Sparshan, Sambhashan. This is something which we all have heard several times. So you see the Lord and you have an opportunity to touch him. And then you possibly have an opportunity to speak to him or he speaks to you. So this is what we would say is like feeling the presence of the Lord. So I'm just trying to see what we would do when he was physically here. As Swami would come for darshan and walk around, several people would, take namaskar. They would touch his feet. And they would bow down to him. And somebody would try to touch his hands. Somebody would try to, will just get to touch the robe. So Sparshan, we would always touch him. And it's a very interesting article which Professor Venkatraman had written. So he was saying that one of those days, he was sitting on the veranda. And there was this gentleman, Brigadier Bose. He is the father of Colonel Bose, who is looking after Chetan Jyoti right now. So, Brigadier Bose, he would sit next to Professor Venkatraman in the darshan line. And invariably when Swami would pass in front of them, after Swami would go ahead, he would touch that place where Swami stepped on and then do namaskar to that. He would not, go and inconvenience or try to touch Swami's feet. And he would touch that place where, suppose Swami has walked here, he would touch that place and then do namaskar to that. And this Professor Venkatraman found very interesting. And so one of those days, Brigadier Bose himself explained to him why he does that. He said, one day Swami came up to him. Initially, I believe when he had come to Parthi, he was all out to touch Swami's feet. And you would try to dive in from two rows or three rows behind and try to touch Swami's feet. And that is how it would be. So Swami said, what do you think? Just because you touch my feet, you will get liberation. You will get moksha. You will get what you want. Is that so simple? So he had no answer. And then Swami said, if that is the case, every fly that comes and sits on my feet will get liberated. He says, there are so many flies that come and sit on my feet. You think all of them are getting liberated? Yes, the touch when you touch the Lord, it's so powerful, it's so important, it changes your life. But then, are you ready for it? Are you in that awareness? So, do you understand what it is to touch the Lord? So, that is about sparshan. So, you think about darshan, you think about sparshan, you think about sambhashan. Now, sambhashan is when Swami speaks to you. Swami can, you know, people come with their problems, they come with lot of issues, they come with their health problems, they come with financial problems. Swami, my daughter is not getting married. So many things. Business problems. And Swami would often say, I give you what you want, so that you would want what I have come to give. And so, all of us come with our own baggage of problems. This is an incident which happened way back in 1948. 48, I don't think Swami had institutionalized darshan also. It's not like a regular darshan that he was staying in, I think in Karnam Subbamma's house next to his birthplace. And at that time, when Swami was just 22 years old, I believe there was a family that came to him, a very well-to-do family from Bangalore or so. And they were twins. They were twins, two boys. And they had everything in their life. They had money, they had everything. But they were blind. And since they were well-to-do, and it was not blindness from birth, so they really went all out. They went to every doctor and whom they could approach, and none of them could help them. So finally they realized that they heard of Swami, and they thought, okay, let's go to Sai Baba and see if he can cure our sons, because you know the twins are young twins and both of them have lost their eyes. And Swami said, they said, Swami, please, you should bring back. Then Swami said, see, I can do it. I can do it. I can remove all the karma that they have undergone, what that they have done. But it's not going to do good for them. Do you know why they are going through this suffering? Do you have an idea why they're going through this suffering? And obviously the parents didn't know. And Swami took them into a room. This is what I read from an article by Mr. Lakshmi Narasimhan, who was the registrar of the university. Swami took them into a room and he said, look there. Now when they looked at in the corner of the room, it is almost like a movie screen. It's like a film which came in front of them, and they were wondering. And they could actually see their two sons in their previous life where they were dacoits. And they were actually torturing somebody and actually blinded one or two of them, you know. They forcefully blinded them and took away all their wealth. Swami said, now having known this, having seen this, how do you expect me to give back vision in this birth? But in their previous life, what they eventually did was, they realized their mistake and they repented for it and they gave away all the money in charity and they helped a lot, they served a lot, but that sin that they had committed, they had to undergo for that. But because they gave away their money, they are born into a rich family this birth. So sambhashan, you get to speak to him, but then how is it helping you? It is your baggage of karma that you already have. He is touching you. He is speaking to you. How is it going to help you? Swami can always nullify all your karma, but he does it when he thinks it's good for you. One very interesting aspect of God's grace that Swami often says is, God's grace is like an anesthesia. He says it's like an anesthesia. So you have your baggage. You have to go through your good and bad and whatever you have to go through. But then the moment you put the anesthesia, you don't feel the pain. You don't feel elated. You don't feel the pain. You are in a constant state of bliss. So he says, earning God's grace is to bring about that equanimity. Bring about that equanimity. So you know, when Swami was physically present, when he was here, darshan, sparshan, sambhashan, we would all give letters to Swami. Did he really need letters? Did he need letters to know what you are going through? Several times I think, in fact it happened to me also once, I like desperately trying to give Swami a letter from the third row, and Swami said, he just walked ahead, he didn't take my letter. I said, Swami, you have not taken my letter. And then he turned back, he said, what will you write? You write the same thing. And he told me what I write. So he knows exactly what you have written. He knows, and he would say that, you know, from the time it comes in your mind that you need to write a letter, he knows what it is. But nevertheless, it's important. Because when you write a letter, you are able to, you know, concretize what you want. You are able to think clearly and write it down and then give it to Bhagwan. Because you get what you ask for. You should be very careful about asking what you really think you need. So, darshan, sparshan, sambhashan, all these things and letters. This was a luxury we had when Swami was physically moving around. Now, Swami is not physically here. And how much ever we may try to, argue intellectually that Swami is present here, our eyes cannot see him. But possibly there is a way in which we can feel his presence. There is a way in which we can actually, you know, feel, see him, talk to him. Swami would say, sing that beautiful song, Rama Nato Matladu. So he would say, oh Rama, talk to me. That the devotion of the saint is such. So he says, I want to see you. I want to talk to you. It's not enough knowing that you are there somewhere. I want to see you. I want to talk to you. I want to feel your presence. Truthfully speaking, are we able to see him? Is it because he does not have the power to manifest himself? No. Then the only thing is, we are not ready enough to see him. So how can we become ready? How can we attune ourselves in a way that you can actually see him or feel his presence? And it starts with very, very small things. It starts with being aware of every small thing that happens in our life.
Dear listeners, you are listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony, bringing to you the message of Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
आवाज देकर तुझको पुकारा, आ जाना अब साई मेरे, आवाज देकर तुझको पुकारा, आ जाना अब साई मेरे, प्रीति लगाई तुझसे रे हमने, प्रीति लगाई तुझसे रे हमने, मिलना सांस सवेरे, मिलना सांस सवेरे, साई मेरे तेरे बिना, तेरे बिना क्या जीना, ढूंढते हैं पल पल तुझको प्यासे मेरे, पल पल तुझको प्यासे मेरे नैना, प्यासे मेरे नैना, प्यासे मेरे नैना, प्यासे मेरे नैना।
Welcome back, dear listeners. We will now continue with the talk by Brother Sai Prakash on the topic, How to Feel Swami's Presence.
How can we attune ourselves in a way that you can actually see Him or feel His presence? And it starts with very, very small things. It starts with being aware of every small thing that happens in our life. Before we go there, I thought I'll just spend some time on trying to understand Swami in His own words, because these are things which you can really not comprehend. We can't comprehend who Swami is. Somebody comes and asks, who is Swami? It's very difficult for us to comprehend. You can't. But then all we can do is go back to His own words on Himself. What He spoke about Himself. You know, in 1974, there was a very beautiful talk in the summer course in which Swami spoke about Himself. And the starting poem is very, very beautiful. I just got the translation of that poem and I thought I should read it out, because it's very beautiful. Imagine Swami standing and He's speaking about Himself. The Telugu poem is available. I'm not going to try to sing the Telugu poem, but the meaning of the poem is, maybe I'll just play a portion of the poem.
Buchi tandam chut tochini reetiga, buchi tandam chut tochini reetiga, buchi tandam chut tochini reetiga, కుబిరుగట్టిన బుట్టబోను బట్ట, బుట్టబోను జుట్టు బూచి ఈతండంచు తోచడి రీతిగా, పరుగుబెట్టిన బుట్టబోను జుట్టు కులమత చిహ్నాలు కలక గుర్తు పలు దీపు, కులమత చిహ్నాలు కలక గుర్తులు దీపు, తిలకమేమయు లేని కిలకమూ, కనిపించి కనిపించకయు, కనిపించి కనిపించకయు, పాదములు దాచు బహువనేల పట్టురులు తొంగి, కనిపించి కనిపించకయు, పాదములు దాచు బహువనేల పట్టురులు తొంగి, నైజ శృంగారంపు ఆటలు పాటలు చూపు, నైజ శృంగారం పాట పాటలు చూపు శివశక్తి ఏ ఈతడ నీరు జుట్టు బొట్టు కట్టు పుట్టుక ఎల్లము జుట్టు బొట్టు కట్టు పుట్టుకలన్నిట గట్టిని కన్నుల చిప్పట్టు దుంచు చిట్టి సత్యసాయి చిట్టి సత్యసాయి చిన్మయ మన్మతు ఇతని గుట్టెరుంగ ఎవరి తరము ఇతని గుట్టెరుంగ ఎవరి తరము ఇతని గుట్టెరుంగ ఎవరి తరము.
It's a very, very beautiful poem. And when you get the time, you can go to the website, either to the Book Trust website or Radio Sai, search for 1974, and you'll get this discourse, where the entire discourse is on who is Sai Baba. The title of the discourse is, Who is Sai Baba? The poem says, moving around with basket-like hair, he gives the impression of one who scares others. So if you look at Swami, sometimes children may get scared of the form of Swami. Looking at Swami, moving around with a basket-like hair, he gives the impression of one who scares others. He bears no marks on his forehead and offers no clues about his religious preferences. So you don't find a namam, you don't find a vibhuti, you don't find any mark that says that he is either a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or any religious preferences. He moves around in a long and beautiful silk robe, his feet occasionally peeping out. So this is a very beautiful line, because as he would walk in the darshan, suddenly his feet would come out and then it would be shrouded in the robe. So he says, he moves around in a long and beautiful silk robe, his feet occasionally peeping out. His singing is enchanting, his mood often playful. No, Swami's was so alive in the sense with the humor that it would be so humorous all the time. Swami would make everybody laugh. In fact, somebody is not laughing, you would say, why are you keeping a castroil face? So you say, it's look as if you put castor oil on your face, you know, it's all long drawn. Smile, you should be happy. And he would say, so he says, his singing is enchanting, his mood often playful. And Swami goes to say that, you know, that is how Lord Krishna was. Imagine you are in the battlefield and everybody is waiting to shoot the first arrow. There is so much tension. And what does Krishna do? He sings a song, and that's called Bhagavad Gita. It is at even at that point in time where there is so much tension, the Lord is always playful and he is singing a song. That's what it is. So he says his singing is enchanting, his mood is often playful, his outward characteristics are many, and yet he seems beyond characterization. You can tell several things about Swami. You can say this is how Swami is, this is how Swami is, but you really can't describe him. He has the same set of eyes that we have. And suppose we are walking and he doesn't look the way we look. If he wants to avoid you in a particular darshan session, you will know it. He will look at everybody around you and he will jump you and go ahead. But if he wants to look at you, you will know it. So you cannot characterize him by the features that he has. You cannot characterize him by, you know, the form that he has chosen to come with. Indeed, who can cognize the truth that this little short Satya Sai, so Swami himself is saying, who can cognize the truth that this short little Satya Sai is verily a manifestation of the Supreme One in human form? So it's very difficult for us to understand, or it's very difficult for us to categorize him and put him in a bracket and say, this is how Swami is, this is what Swami will do, he will come and speak here, he will go this way. Nothing. Love my uncertainty. If he was coming out every day and going to the lady's side first and coming to the gent's side, that day he might just come first to the gent's side. So his darshans were as, You know, the beauty is every day it's new. Every day it's new. So he says, nobody can know me. Nobody can understand that this Sai is the very manifestation of the Supreme. There is another segment in the discourse which is again very, very interesting. He says, there are absolutely no limits to my power. My divine aspect cannot ever be limited by considerations of space and time. Infinite powers and infinite aspects are latent in me. Nevertheless, it sometimes becomes necessary for me to explicitly state these things for those incapable of understanding all this. He says, for those incapable of understanding all this, there is no use in telling all this. On the other hand, for those who know, there is obviously no need to. But for those who are in the middle and whose faith fluctuates, he says, it becomes necessary to give them my visiting card. If today I have decided to talk about Sai, it is by way of giving you my visiting card. So he says, when I decide to speak about myself, that is my visiting card. I'm introducing myself to you all. So he says, that is my visiting card. There is no other purpose or intention, irrespective of what you believe. So if we were to try to even understand what he says, you can't understand. Just, you can't understand. It's beyond your understanding. So you're trying to feel the presence of Swami whom you can't understand. Now, how is it going to happen? It was very easy when he was physically coming here, he was walking and he was talking. Okay, at least there was a sense of connect and you would see. But you can't remain in class one all the time. So he is now, he says the free lunch is over. You have to earn your lunch. And there is another paragraph in that when Swami is talking about himself, he says, Sai is the personification of prema or pure love. Love that is limitless, unconditional, unfathomable, and totally beyond normal human comprehension. So he has himself said it. He has said that you can't try to understand me, you can't try to comprehend me. But Swami, we would like to feel your presence. We would still like to speak to you. We would still like to see you. So how do we do that? So when you think on these lines, the description that one of the saints in Andhra, some of the people from Andhra Pradesh will know, Saint Annamaya, in his song he writes, Yantamatramu yavvaru talichina antamatrame nivu. That means, to whatever extent a person can comprehend you, can imagine you are, you reveal that aspect of yourself to him. As a child, we may think, Swami is very loving because he always comes and gives me apples. So he is like your friend. He comes and gives you apples. So for somebody who is not having the love of a parent, Swami is like my mother. So Swami comes and takes the role of a mother. Somebody who looks at Swami as a guru, Swami takes the role as a guru. There is this, I'm sure some of the people from India will know, this great Periwar, they used to call him Shankaracharya from Kanchi, Sri Chandrasekhar Saraswati, who lived for 100 years and then who passed on. So this is a story which one of the devotees, very old devotees of Swami, told us that he had come to their house on one of those days and he saw a big photo of Swami and he said, do you know who he is? Do you know who he is? And they said, they were new to Swami at that time. And he said, this is Sakshat Meenakshi, embodiment of divinity. This is indeed the embodiment of divinity come in human form. Then he added a very interesting statement. He said, in this avatar, in this incarnation, he has come for the common man. He has come for everybody. You cannot get close to him with all your traditional and ritualistic beliefs. You cannot get close to him by saying, you know, I follow all these traditions, so I have license to go close to God. He is not sitting on a high throne and saying that unless you do all this, you cannot come to me. He has come for the common man. And he is the one who told, you can touch his heart, you can feel his presence, you can feel his love, only through love. Only through love. And Swami says, if you need me, you deserve me. So if you have that love for him, automatically you will feel His presence. And you will feel, you know, you will speak to Him. He will speak to you. Sometimes it's very confusing, like Swami is always there and you want Him to communicate to you. How do you know that what Swami is telling is Swami telling, or it's something else? Is the mind telling, or it is some imagination? So these are all questions that we have to, you know, work on. I can't give a ready-made answer for it, because many people have this idea that I am doing this because Swami told me. Now, if Swami tells you to do something, will He tell you to do something which is good only for you and which hurts everybody else around you? Swami won't do that. When Swami was physically here, He would give instructions. But how much care He would take? Help ever, hurt never. Love all, serve all. When Swami says, every second of His life He lived that. So when you pray to Swami that He should speak to you, that you should feel His presence, we should be very, very careful. And we should be very sensitive and very subtle, because with a lot of humility and prayer, because only then you can hear, in the depths of silence, you can hear the voice of God. So when I was thinking on these lines, there is a very unconventional way of putting it right now, but this is something that came to my mind. How do you feel Swami's presence today? Like, for example, if you want to feel Swami's presence, that's the whole topic. Now we have explored what it was when Swami was physically present. We have tried to understand that we cannot understand who Swami is. We have tried to listen to what He spoke about Himself. But still we want to feel His presence. We want to speak to Him. How do we do that? Like everything else, it is a matter of interest and it's a matter of step by step. So there is this beautiful shloka in the Bhagavad Gita, and which Swami often quotes in many of His discourses. So I thought I'll just take that shloka as a as a baseline and discuss some of those topics. It is Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat jnana dhyanam visishyate dhyanat karma falat tyagah tyagah shanti ranantaram. So this is from the 12th chapter, where He says, greater than abhyasa. Abhyasa is effort. So you do effort. We all are doing effort for several things. Greater than effort is knowledge. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat. Now suppose we want to feel Swami's presence. What is the effort we need to make? Let's start with something very simple, like cleanliness. So if we are in our room, and if we want Swami to come to our room, will we keep it dirty? Will we throw things around like I generally do in my room? So are we aware that Swami, we want to call Swami in our room, so is it clean enough? So if you're cleaning your room with the idea that Swami is visiting my room, He will. In fact, this is a very interesting incident that happened even when He was physically present. See, He is Bhavapriya. He looks at your feeling and He responds to those feelings. If you ask me what is the greatest boon of all of us who have seen Swami when He was physically around, it's like you slowly start realizing that the Swami who is outside is the same as the Swami who is inside. Because He would know everything that you are thinking. You pray to Him inside and He would respond outside. You pray to Him outside and He would respond inside. So there was this beautiful incident where Swami was visiting the hostel when we were students, and we had prayed to Swami, please come to the hostel. And since we were school students, we were in the third floor. Our prayer hall was in the third floor. And we said, Swami, you should come to our hostel. You should come to our prayer hall and bless us. And Swami said, yes, I will come, I will come. One of the students who was in the second floor, he said, oh my God, Swami is coming to the hostel. And Swami is going to cross the staircase adjacent to my room. We should keep our room ready so that if Swami wants, He can take rest in the room. He can come to my room. He can come to our room and He can just sit, for because He's climbing all the stairs and He's coming. So with that pure intention, he went ahead cleaning his room, and everybody told him, see, Swami is going up. He is not going to stop here. Stop doing this. He said, no, Swami is coming all the way here. I want to clean. And what did Swami do? He came to the second floor And the group of students who were actually leading him to the third floor, the Vedam procession, they went ahead, turning the one more row of stairs. And Swami turned the other way. Swami turned the other way and got into this room. And Swami said, "Ekkada, nobody is here. Where are the students? Where is the prayer hall?" And nobody was there because everybody is. Swami said, "Oh, very nice, clean room." So you want to feel his presence, you want to invite him to your room. It starts with the simplest of things. So are we really serious? Are we interested enough that we want to feel his presence? So you're cleaning your room. You clean it with the feeling that Swami is coming to your room. There was, you know, that beautiful incident in Thrai Vrindavan. One day Swami was sitting and Swami just picked up one student. Swami said, "Boy, get up." So he stood up. And he was already working in the hospital at that time. And Swami said, "You know this boy? Every time he travels in a bus, or he sits in a canteen, or he sits in his room, he always thinks that Swami is sitting next to him. Am I right or not?" And that boy said, "Yes, Swami." And Swami said, "You know what? I am actually there. I am there next to him. He believes. He believes that I am there next to him." So, you know, that leads us to the next point, that we have to believe in it. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat. Abhyasat is you make these efforts. You clean your room. You keep thinking Swami is there. You write letters to Swami. Like, you know, one of the students, Swami had called all of us to the Punichandra Hall. And Swami, what should I do after my 10th standard? Should I take science group or maths group or commerce group? And Swami was avoiding him. Then again he would, "Swami, please." Swami said, "Hey, I have already told you, why are you asking me again?" And we were surprised. Then the boy revealed that he had actually written it on two chits and put it in front of Swami's photo in his room, in the hostel. He had asked Swami, "Should I take science or maths?" And Swami had given the answer there. And he was not sure, so he tried to ask Swami again. Swami said, "I've already given you your answer. Why are you doing this again?" So do we believe? We should have, you know, Swami gives this very beautiful story. There was a student who had to write his exam. And he thought the shortcut is, you know, just please the gods. Who wants to do all the hard work of actually studying? Why not I just please the gods? So he brought this beautiful statue of Goddess Saraswati. After all, she is the goddess of learning. And did, you know, lot of prayer and didn't study a word. And he went to the exam and he failed completely, smashed out. And so he came back and he said, "Saraswati is no good." He said, "After all, you know, I have to pray to Lord Shiva. So he is the one who is ever blissful and he grants boons very easily. He brought a Shiva statue and again he failed the exam." And he said, "My God, what am I doing? It is Ganesha, of course. First thing I have to do is, you know, clear the obstacles. I mean, why am I going so far?" And he was very upset and he put Shiva and Saraswati in one cupboard. And then he brought the Ganesha statue and he lit the incense and he was starting his prayer. Suddenly he saw that incense fumes were going into that cupboard. And he got very upset. He said, "You gods are useless. You did not help me pass my exam. How dare you smell my incense?" So what he did was he took his handkerchief, opened the cupboard, and tied the nose of Saraswati and Shiva. He tied the nose. And Swami says, at that instant, both of them appeared in front of him. He was totally taken aback. He said, "My God, I have been praying to you and that time you didn't help me. Now I am trying to prevent you from stealing my incense and you are appearing." He says, "But they said, because you believe that we are real. When you were doing your prayers as an idol, you thought we were an idol. Because you thought we were an idol, we didn't bless you. Now for the first time, you are tying my nose because you think we can actually smell your incense. You think I'm real. So we came." So when you want to feel Swami's presence, I think you have to believe. You have to have the faith that he is there. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat. Jnana dhyanam vishishyate. See, now you do your effort. You have the knowledge that, you know, Swami is there. That you have to see him. Jnana dhyanam vishishyate. He says, meditation is better than having that knowledge. What is meditation? Like there are so many nowadays courses, there are so many things happening where people say this is meditation, that is meditation. But Swami has given a very simple, Swami says, choose the name and form of God which is very dear to you. That love is very important. If there is no love, then there is no point. And he says, just as you breathe in and you breathe out, close your eyes and imagine the form of the Lord revealing itself in your mind's eye. You see his hair, you see his eyes, you see his nose, you see his smile, you see his chin. And this is something which Swami was himself describing to some of the students. He said, why have I come in this form? It is not for me. It is for you all. I have taken this form, it is only for you all. Imagine you are a Lord Shiva's devotee. So he said, when you close your eyes, you have to imagine Ganga, you have to imagine Chandra, you have to imagine, you know, third eye, you have to imagine the snake. By the time you start imagining all that, you'll fall asleep. So he says, you have to imagine so many things. But that's why, you know, I've taken this simple form. The first question he would ask is, do you have faith in this form? Do you have faith in this form? It is all to calm your mind. It is to get that chitta shuddhi, to get that focus, to get that concentration, contemplation and meditation. So he says, do you have faith in this form? Yes, if you do have faith in this form, then close your eyes and reveal that form in your mind's eye. That is meditation. So shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat, jnanat dhyanam vishishyate, dhyanat karma falat tyagaha. Karma falatyaga is something, it's like the central theme of Bhagavad Gita, in the sense you give up the ownership of the fruits of your actions. But if you look at it, Swami has written in the Gita Vahini, it is a meaningless statement. Can you actually give up the fruits of your actions? Is it possible? Now you are going to go and have lunch. If you think that it doesn't matter whether my hunger is satiated or not, I will still go and have lunch. Is it possible? You have lunch because you know that your hunger is going to be satiated. You do any action because you know that this is the result of your action. So what does Krishna mean when he says, give up the fruits of your action? And Swami explains, this is something very, very beautiful and subtle. Swami has explained it in the first chapter of the Gita Vahini. If you read, Swami says, karma nevadikaraste mahaphaleshu kadachana. So people say that Krishna has said, you have the right only to do your action. You don't have right to the fruits of your action. Swami says, there is a small twist. Krishna said, karma nevadikaraste mahaphaleshu kadachana. He didn't say na phaleshu kadachana. He says, if it is na phaleshu kadachana, that means you should not expect the fruits of your actions. He said, ma phaleshu kadachana means, do not think the fruits of your actions are yours. Do not own the fruits of your actions. There is a very subtle difference. How do you do that? It's very nice to hear, but how do you do that? There Swami says, you can offer it to the Lord. Suppose there is a surgeon. The surgeon is going and performing a complicated brain surgery. And the surgeon thinks, after all, I'm the greatest surgeon in the world. And if the patient doesn't recover well, then the surgeon is totally upset. If the patient recovers very well, then the surgeon is very happy, thinks that I am the one who is doing it. So what the Lord says is, if you want to avoid this ups and downs, jumps and this, you have to, if you want to get a steady mind, a calm mind, offer all your actions to me. So you say, I am doing my best. I am doing this surgery to the best of my ability. Lord, I offer this to you. The results of this action are based on your will. I know that I have done my best. So shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat, jnanat dhyanam vishishyate, dhyanat karma falatyagaha, tyagas shanti ranantaram. So the moment you do that and give up the fruits of your actions, the moment you say, Swami, I offer this to you, I'm cutting vegetables, I'm cutting my ego, I'm cooking for you, Swami, I'm cleaning my room, I'm inviting you to my room. So all the time when you're thinking of him, let us go back to what we discussed when Swami came for darshan. He wanted us, our minds to calm down. He wanted our minds to be serene. He wanted them to be very calm. Only when your mind is calm, the true reflection of Bhagwan comes from within you. You can feel His presence when your mind is calm. Your mind is always busy thinking of a million things. Then you cannot feel His presence. So I think these are just some of my thoughts. And there are a million ways to achieve that. It's like you're reaching a central point from several directions. You can take any direction and reach that point. Some people say that my way is better, that way is not better. But that's not true. Every path leads to the same goal. So based on some of the things that Swami has said and based on some of our own understanding, I try to put this together and say that if we really are interested in feeling Swami's presence, that is the only thing that is coming in the way of us actually feeling His presence. Because He is there, He is always there, He is always with us. It's up to us how we really strive for it and pray for it. And He is ever there to shower His love. Thank you so much, Sai Ram.
सबसे अलग है सबसे निराले ऐसे मेरे साईं बाबा सूरत है भोली चेहरा है न्यारा प्यारे मेरे साईं बाबा सबसे अलग है सबसे निराले ऐसे मेरे साईं बाबा सूरत है भोली चेहरा है प्यारा प्यारे मेरे साईं बाबा साईं है जीवन जीवन सत्य साईं साईं है जीवन जीवन सत्य साईं साईं है जीवन जीवन सत्य साईं जब साईं को देखा तो मुझको ऐसा लगा डूबी हुई मेरी कश्ती को जैसे कोई किनारा मिला पहली बार जब साईं को देखा तो मुझको ऐसा लगा हुई मेरी कश्ती को जैसे कोई किनारा मिला कोई किनारा मिला सबसे अलग है सबसे निराले ऐसे मेरे साईं बाबा सूरत है भोली चेहरा है प्यारा प्यारे मेरे साईं बाबा साईं है जीवन जीवन सत्य साईं साईं है जीवन జీవన్ సత్య సాయి సాయి హై జీవన్ జీవన్ సత్య సాయి नजर जब मुझ पे पड़ी तो मुझको ऐसा लगा तू हर लेगा सारे दुख दर्द हमारे तू ही मेरा सगा ओ तेरी नजर जब मुझ पे पड़ी तो मुझको ऐसा लगा तू हर लेगा सारे दुख दर्द हमारे तू ही मेरा सगा तू ही मेरा सगा तू ही रहम कर तू ही करम कर तू ही मेरा साईं रामा सूरत है भोली चेहरा है न्यारा प्यारे मेरे साईं बाबा प्यारे मेरे साईं बाबा साईं है जीवन जीवन सत्य साईं साईं है जीवन जीवन सत्य साईं साईं है जीवन जीवन सत्य साईं जीवन सत्य साईं जीवन सत्य साईं जीवन सत्य साईं
निसरणि प मपदनि पस నిసర్గ మరణి సరదని పస के परती कितनी हंसी है हो माना प्रशांति में कितना सुकून है हो माना के परती कितनी हंसी है माना प्रशांति में कितना सुकून है लेकिन ये सब मेरे साईं बिना लेकिन ये सब मेरे साईं बिना परती सुनी लगती है परती सुनी लगती है परती सुनी लगती है परती में खुशहाली है। मौसम की बात निराली है। परती में खुशहाली है। मौसम की बात निराली है। लोग हजारों आते हैं अपना दिल बहलाते हैं। लेकिन ये परती साईं बिना, लेकिन ये परती साईं बिना कितनी सुनी लगती है, कितनी सुनी लगती है, कितनी सुनी लगती है।
तुझको साई आओना, मंदिर प्रशांति तर से साई आओना,
हरती पुकारे तुझको साई आओना, मंदिर प्रशांति तर से अब आओना।
नैनों के प्यास बुझाने, दिल की तड़प घटाने, बेचैनियां मिटाने साई आओना,
साई आओना, साई आओना,
साई आओना, साई आओना। ये जीवन दिया, चलना सिखाया, पालन किया,
तुमने साई हमको ये जीवन दिया, चलना सिखाया, पालन किया।
ओ देख देख तुम्हें पले बड़े, हम कैसे भुला दे, बिना देखे अब रह नहीं पाए, कैसे दिल संभले।
देर न करो अब तुम साई आओना,
ओ देर न करो अब तुम आओना,
साई आओना, साई आओना,
साई आओना, साई आओना। याद में तुम्हारे सब तन्हा तन्हा, सदियों सा लगता है हर लम्हा लम्हा,
हो याद में तुम्हारे सब तन्हा तन्हा, सदियों सा लगता है हर लम्हा लम्हा।
जीने की मजा हो तुम साई कैसे जी पाए, पल के बिछाए सुनी राहों पे तड़पते रह जाए।
देर न करो अब तुम साई आओना,
ओ देर न करो अब तुम आओना,
साई आओना, साई आओना,
साई आओना, साई आओना। परती पुकारे तुझको साई आओना, मंदिर प्रशांति तर से साई आओना,
बेचैनियां मिटाने, दिल की तड़प घटाने, नैनों के प्यास बुझाने अब आओना, साई आओना, अब आओना,
साई आओना, साई।
इतना प्यार दिया साई तुमने, कैसे करूं शुक्रिया मैं तुम्हारा। कैसे करूं शुक्रिया मैं तुम्हारा, इतना प्यार दिया साईं तुमने, कैसे करूं शुक्रिया मैं तुम्हारा। सब है तुम्हारा कुछ नहीं मेरा, सब है तुम्हारा कुछ नहीं मेरा, ये जिंदगी भी है देन तुम्हारा, ये जिंदगी भी है देन तुम्हारा। इतना प्यार दिया साईं तूने, कैसे करूं शुक्रिया मैं तुम्हारा।
Yeah.
देन तुम्हारा इतना प्यार दिया साईं तुमने कैसे करूं शुक्रिया मैं तुम्हारा कैसे करूं शुक्रिया मैं तुम्हारा कैसे करूं शुक्रिया मैं तुम्हारा।